to change. So, you know, changing my hair color doesn't necessarily change my identity. Getting my nose pierced doesn't necessarily change my identity. It might do. If I show up at church next week with blue hair and piercings, you can ask me some questions. But actually, people who go through transitioning to the opposite gender are saying something about their identity. They're making a claim that, and actually still making that claim that we talked about in the first point, that actually God got it wrong, and I am actually the opposite gender. So I think it's slightly unhelpful to compare transitioning my gender to getting my hair dyed. They are quite substantially different things.
Bro, thank you. Is there a difference between male and female and masculine and femininity?
Yes. So one of the things we have to be really careful with is not holding up unhelpful gender stereotypes, unhelpful stereotypes of masculinity. And so, you know, I am a man who is pretty useless at sport, but I'm all right in the kitchen. And that's fine. That's fine. We don't want to put up unhelpful gender stereotypes that make people confused. We had, just to make it concrete, we had a girl on our summer camp a few years ago when we did some seminars on transgenderism. Who ended up being really, really worried that she might have gender dysphoria. But after a number of conversations with Sarah, she didn't have gender dysphoria. She just didn't enjoy doing stereotypically girly things. And that was massively confusing for her. So gender stereotypes can be really unhelpful. So we do kind of want to make a distinction between masculinity and being male.
Brilliant, thank you. And how you mentioned people having preferred pronouns. So how should we? I guess this question is coming from the idea of wanting to be compassionate but confront. Yeah. So how should we handle that whole issue of people asking us to use preferred pronouns?
So I guess there's two trains of thought that you see commonly with Christians. One is that I will continue to use the pronouns of that person's birth sex because that is more true. So, you know, you get sentiments like, I won't use their chosen pronouns because that would be colluding with a lie. I guess if you're being, very black and white, you'd say that person is leaning much more towards not compromising than compassion. The other strain of thought is you use the chosen pronouns of a person because that helps you to draw alongside them and build a relationship with them and have opportunities to share the gospel with them.
You did that, didn't you?
Caitlin
Jenner being a she.
So I think where I've landed is I will use people's chosen pronouns because I want to have a relationship with people. I want to love people. I want to welcome them so I can share the gospel with them. Actually, with the Caitlyn Jenner thing, I tried to make sure I used the right pronouns for how that person identified at the right time. So we referred to Bruce Jenner as a he, but from 2015 onwards, Caitlyn Jenner as a she. And when we're talking about Nikki Hayden, we referred to her as a she. But I'm aware Christians will disagree with me about that, but I think where I've landed is I'll use their chosen pronouns because I want to be loving and welcoming and have opportunities to share the gospel with them.
Thank you. Coming over to you, Steve, there's actually been a couple of people send very personal ones saying actually some of the things, so there's two slightly different situations, but actually some of what I'm hearing, I feel like that's me, but I haven't talked to people about it. What do I do?
Last week we tackled the whole issue of marriage and sexuality. I think that maybe if we are struggling with our marriage and we're wondering what to do, it'd be really worth seeking our counsel. We're really happy to meet and chat with you and help you with that. And I think that with the whole issue of sexuality, maybe we are same-sex attracted and we've never confess that to anyone, never talk to anyone about that. And actually, I think the fact that we're not doing that might actually be unhelpful to us. But actually, I would go and chat to one of the ministers who can help you with that. I know that, you know, in my ministry, I get the privilege of chatting to people about all sorts of things who struggle with all sorts of issues. And actually, as I said in the identity series, you know, I'd love to know what it's like to be you. I want to pray for you and help you and help you to live a godly life. I mean, Adam was talking about the whole thing of gender dysphoria tonight. And actually, if somebody feels like that, we'd love to know, because actually we want to help you to live in a godly way. That, Nikki, was it Nikki you spoke about?
Nikki Hayden, yeah.
Nikki Hayden. I mean, just hearing what Nikki Hayden had to say, how difficult was it for Nikki Hayden growing up feeling like that? I mean, very, very hard. You've got to, your heart goes out to her. But actually, if that's how we felt, I'd love to know so we can help you and encourage you to live in the way that God wants you to live in terms of how he's made you, and just to help you with that. Mm. So I think isolation is not going to help you. There's lots of help out there. We hold to the highest form of confidentiality in terms of actually things that we don't have to tell other people about, and these are those in terms of transgenderism and sexuality and marriage. We hear lots of things about that from people, and we want to help you, and we'll support you through that.
Thank you. Stay with Steve. A couple of people asking just for more help on how do we respond when actually people think we are the ones who have got who are the bad people. I'm trying to kind of combine about three different questions here, all down the same kind of line. So actually, how do we respond when people say actually we're the bad people because we have these particular views, whether it's on transgenderism or homosexuality? How do we keep on preaching the gospel when people think the gospel is the bad news?
Oh, it's really hard, isn't it? Because actually, people think actually holding these views now is immoral. It's actually wrong. And actually, we are seen as being those who are homophobic and, you know, against transgender people. We're not. But actually, as soon as you express a view, hold out what the Bible says, you're seen as being homophobic and anti-people and harsh. I think that's the reality of the culture we live in now. We will be seen as being outdated, irrelevant, and actually ridiculous and immoral in our teaching and belief. And actually, I was just reflecting, actually, what we think is the Bible's wisdom, people will say is foolishness, isn't it? And actually, people look at the cross and think, actually, we think that's the wisdom of God. People look at that and think it's the foolishness of God. I mean, what's going on the cross? And actually, nothing's changed. You teach the Bible, and actually, these truths on sexuality and gender, people think we're being utterly foolish. I mean, what happened when Philip Schofield came out on Friday? There was this wave of compassion and love for him, for being true to himself. That's the culture we're in. Forget about his wife and his family. Well done, Philip. Well done, Schofield. Now, I don't doubt it's a real struggle for him, but actually our culture is against us, actually. But we still have the freedom to express our views, and I think the way we do it is we keep doing it, but with grace, with grace. And that's the whole thing that Adam said, we're neither yuck nor yes. We love people. And I've had some very interesting conversations with people recently, and actually, you know, people might disagree with me, but actually if I listen to them and give them time, and actually say, look, this is where I'm coming from. You know, I know you've got different views, but actually this is what Jesus teaches, what the Bible teaches. I think it's the best way to live. If we just listen to people and show compassion, then I think we'll have a bit of time for us. You might think we're barking, but actually we're going against the wave of culture. We really are counterculture. This is radical stuff. When it was mainstream years ago, it's utterly radical. And it's going to make you different at college and at school and your families. And it's going to get harder and harder. So be prepared. It's going to get harder for us, I think, to hold this stuff. But we do it with graciousness, I think. Any thoughts on that, Adam?
It's probably also just worth saying, isn't it, that I guess we just need to be careful not to believe the lie. Yeah. That because we disagree with people about this, we can't be friends with them.
Yeah.
Our culture definitely holds up this idea that if you disagree with people on these big topics, that's a barrier to friendship. But actually, the reality is, you don't have to agree with someone on everything to be their friend. I'm married. I don't agree with my wife on like 65% of things, and our marriage is still fine. Good.
Amazing.
Excellent.
Amazing. It's a really good marriage. But I think the point is there, right? You can absolutely love someone and absolutely have a friendship with them and disagree with them. And the world says that's not possible, but it absolutely is. We know it is. So don't be fearful about trying to be friends.
Final question then. So people will be in workplaces or school or wherever tomorrow. And actually, so take the Philip Schofield example. That is quite likely to come up in conversation. So can you just help us with what are a couple of the things that you would just be trying to say in that situation that you think would be helpful things for us to say that show the kind of compassion but also do confront some of the wrong ideas the world has?
That's a very good question. Did you make that one up? Stinker. I think I'd want to kind of unpick it a little bit. I was listening to a radio show yesterday, and there's a big debate about Philip Schofield and stuff coming out. It was very interesting. And I just think there's no harm in just saying, well, actually, you know, I'd want to say, well, what about his wife? He's married. Does that count for anything? Is it, you know, what good is he doing to other people by coming out? I would just begin to question it and actually just questioning what he's pursuing. Do you know what I mean? You know, what is he looking for in life? Is life all about being true to yourself? You know, I think that's really unhelpful. Mm. I mean, I don't know, I might get a cup of coffee put on my head if I said that. But I just think that maybe people are thinking, well, what about his wife and his kids? And it's all very well for him to come out. But actually, there's loads of stuff's going to unfold about Philip Schofield for the next few days, I think. It's not quite as straightforward as we think. But I would say, actually, I think God's ways are the best ways. I think, actually, he's made promises before God in his marriage. He should commit to that however he feels. I mean, you know, he's going to also have a blessed life if he lived that way. I don't quite understand why he's doing what he's doing. What would you say, Adam?
So I think there's lots of things about his story you could affirm, right? It must have been really hard to live a confused life for the last 20-odd years. It must be really painful for him to have had to speak to his family about it. Like, there's all this stuff that you can affirm. We did like a year of mission and evangelism at youth group last academic year. And we did, it sounds really stupid, we did a thing called five-second witness. Five-second witness, just say something. You don't have to say everything. You don't need to have, like, an extended, debunk of Philip Schofield's coming out. You just say something. Just say, as they're talking about, it's so good that he's living his own truth. You could, just 5 seconds. Oh, yeah, but I think there's a better way of living. Or, oh, I think there's a better truth to follow. Don't say much, and the worst that will happen is they'll look at you like you're a mad person and ignore you. The best thing that can happen is they ask you a question. So I think it's an opportunity to just fish for conversations, isn't it? 5 seconds, just say something. Don't worry about saying everything, just say something.
It's good. I think the whole thing, a better way of living is really helpful, isn't it? It's what we believe, even though it's very difficult for him. We believe that.
And actually, if we want to get to Jesus, which doesn't always happen, but I think I have just been struck by this idea of love, saying, you know, love, and yet his real needs, he needs to serve himself and follow his desires. And there is a way there, isn't it, to talk about the Lord Jesus and actually his example of love, which puts his interests aside for the sake of those who he loves. And that is a mark of real love, I think. So, lots of potential. Brilliant, thank you very much. There's a couple more that you might not feel like we asked you a very specific question. I'll try to ask ones in all the general areas, but do come chat to Adam or Steve afterwards.